This is the Post Game Podcast on the Blood Red Channel, bringing you all the big match reaction with views from the press box, the dugout and the stands.
Hello everyone and welcome along to the Liverpool Echo's Post Game Podcast with me, Patrick Smith, after Liverpool booked their place in the Carabao Cup quarterfinals with a 2-1 win away at Bournemouth. An absolute worldie from Darwin Nunez was the difference after Cody Gakpo's goal was cancelled out by Justin Kluivert in stormy conditions on the south coast. Let's bring you some reaction. Up first, we have the Liverpool Echo's Paul Gorse from the Vitality Stadium, Jurgen Klopp's press conference, my debrief on the whistle with Liverpool.com editor Matt Addison, and some fan reaction from the Liverpool away end with Mark Baker.
The post-game podcast on the Blood Red Channel.
Liverpool are into the last eight of the League Cup after a 2-1 win against Bournemouth here at the Vitality Stadium this evening. A difficult game played in even more difficult conditions as the Reds navigated the twin onslaughts of both Bournemouth and Storm Kieran to emerge victorious, with Darwin Nunez and Cody Gakpo scoring the goals. A fairly dull, lifeless first half was brought into life when Cody Gakpo scored his first goal since the one he registered against Tottenham in late September, the Netherlands international. Reacting first from a shot into the box from Harvey Elliott, a bit of pinball inside the area, and the Dutch striker made sure that he was on hand to turn it past Andre Radu for 1-0. The Reds went into the half-time interval with the lead, but were pegged back after a series of dangerous in-swinging corners was finally paid dividends for the home side. Justin Kluivert on hand to make it 1-1, and it looked like Liverpool were going to have to really batten down the hatches and ride out the storm of not only the weather but also Bournemouth. Klopp made a handful of substitutions, Trent Alexander-Arnold, Alexis McAllister and Nunez all coming on as part of a substitution, and it was the Uruguay international who made the telling contribution, curling it to the top corner after a wonderful move cutting inside from the left after initially miscontrolling the pass from Alexander-Arnold. Nunez now up to, was it 7 goals this season, and he looks like a different player to the one who was part of the struggles last season, even if perhaps some of his own were quite exaggerated at times. The wind and the rain is continuing to batter down the Vitality Stadium and Bournemouth in general, and as a result, Liverpool's flight back to Merseyside this evening has been cancelled, so it's a long trip back up north to them for them in the team coach. But all in all, it was an agreeable night for Klopp and his team. A 2-1 win moved them into the last eight of the Carabao Cup. At the time of we're recording this, we're not too sure who the Reds are going to play against, but they will fancy their chances after seeing a host of the other heavyweights in the Premier League fallen by the wayside. Newcastle United have beaten Manchester United 3-0 this evening. Arsenal have also been eliminated, so the Reds will have no worries over who they're paired with in the last eight. And who knows, maybe even another trip to Wembley is still on the cards in this competition as they look to secure a 10th victory in the League Cup. As we say, it was a night of changes, eight in all. Dominic Szoboszlai, captain Mohamed Salah, and Kostas Tsimikas all keeping their place. But other than that, it was another night when Liverpool's strength and depth really came to the fore with substitutes like Nunez, like Alexander-Arnold, McAllister, Ryan Gravenberch. It's a key facet of Liverpool's season to date, and as we keep saying, the front five options, if you keep one out, you're unlikely to keep the rest of them out, and Liverpool have moved into the last eight as a result of goals from Gakpo and a stunning one from Nunez. It's finished here at the Vitality Stadium. Bournemouth 1, Liverpool 2.
The Post Game Podcast on the Blood Red Channel.
Whether it's the legendary Lionesses, grassroots or expert analysis of the women's leagues, Women's Football News has it all covered. A brand new monthly magazine packed with news, interviews and expert opinion. Don't miss Women's Football News. Pick up a copy today from participating retailers. Women's football is here to stay. So are we.
Oh, yeah. It's a top, top, top cup game. So it's all about winning. It's all about getting through. So the good thing today, I don't have to speak about the circumstance because everybody saw it and felt it. It was really difficult for both teams, obviously. First half, we could have scored more goals. We didn't. And second half, obviously, we realised it would have been a good idea to score more goals because the wind changed the game again in the second half. So we scored our second goal, wonderful goal, and then we fought extremely hard. We had good moments. But it's all about attitude in these moments. I saw both teams obviously wanted it, but you can everybody can expect it, of course, from the home team. But I saw my team as well, how hard we really wanted it. And I'm really happy about that. It was a top cup game in strange circumstances.
I mean, Darwin will get the headlines for the goal, but such as Jarrell Quant.
Yeah, that's the other thing that was obvious, that it was really good in these circumstances. Wow. So many difficult balls to judge, to estimate where it's coming down. Did really well on the ball. Kvief thought, obviously, give him the ball quite a lot. And let's see what he can do. Did really well there too. Yeah, top game, absolutely.
Any more quick ones before we go?
Jürgen, how pleasing just to get through a game like
that. Super.
Just with the wind and the
yeah, it's super. It's just super. It's really... So we knew it. We have to talk about the weather because of how we can travel already since 3-4 days. It was clear that it will be really storm, wind, strong wind will come. So we know it, but it's really different to then play football in it. But again, the boys took it completely. It was a difficult game. Bournemouth did really well. They had their moments. But you need in life, in football, from time to time, you need luck. And tonight, pretty for sure, in one or two moments, Bournemouth could have finished the situation a little bit better off, but it's an inch on the foot, not more. And yeah, then Darwin shows his class and puts the game pretty much to bed for us. It's an unbelievable goal. A much bigger chance in the whole game, like 5, 6, 7, but that was the goal we needed. He did it. Everybody was really working extremely hard, and that's what you want. That's what you want. And now we drive home, long trip, but we would have to do that anyway. But with going to the next round, it feels much better.
I just wanted to see if you used the wind just to whip it in, wasn't it? Why you did it?
If you can do that, that's really good. You have a look, where's it going, and that would be outstanding. We have to ask him. I didn't. I just enjoyed the goal. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you
very much. Bye-bye.
The post-game podcast on the Blood Red Channel.
Hello, everyone. Welcome along to the Blood Red YouTube channel for the debrief. We're live after Liverpool are into the EFL Cup quarterfinals after a 2-1 win over Bournemouth and a amazing goal from Darwin Nunez. Probably the most Darwin Nunez you'll see all season. Anyway, though, I'm joined by Liverpool.com editor Matt Addison to go through that victory. Matt, what are your initial thoughts after that one? Then it wasn't the most exciting, but Liverpool got the job done and they got it done in some fashion with that goal, didn't they?
Yeah, it was obviously tricky with the circumstances. They made a lot of changes as well, which I think never helps in terms of sort of continuity and that kind of thing. It's never easy. I know they've done it a lot this season, obviously, in this competition and in the Europa League as well. But I do think it's reasonably impressive to play as well as what they did, given those two things. And I think it was really important to win as well and get through. You look at, Arsenal have been knocked out now. Manchester City are already out. It looks like, Liverpool and Newcastle, maybe Chelsea as well, kind of the three teams. And I mean, Liverpool were favourites even before a ball was kicked, probably because of, the calibre of opposition they were coming up against. But you've still got to go out there and do that job. I'd have been really disappointed, I have to say, if they didn't go through, because I think it's a real opportunity for them to win a trophy this season. Obviously, we don't know the extent of how well they're going to do in the league and the other competitions. But I think in this one, you can kind of get to where they've got now, the quarterfinals, reasonably easily and fairly straightforward, which is what they've done again. And yeah, as I say, it's opened up now for them. If they weren't the favourites before, they certainly are now. And I think you've got to look at that as a real opportunity to go on and get some silverware.
Yeah, it really is. And it was such a, the trophy itself does get a lot of discredit, doesn't it? But that season they won it was a fantastic run. Of course, you want to see Liverpool winning trophies, don't you? No matter what you think of the League Cup. We'll move on to the goals later on in the show, Matt. But as you said at the top of the show, Liverpool made a few changes. There was also a change in shape. I know they did revert back to the 4-3-3 towards the end, but they were playing in a sort of diamond formation at the start with. I mean, how do you think the midfield played there? There's a lot of interchange between Harvey Elliott and Dominic Szoboszlai that was nice to see, wasn't there?
Yeah, I don't mind that. Don't mind Szoboszlai playing off the right at certain times, or you know, as a 10, I think he is versatile enough to do that. I don't think it was his best game today. I think there's maybe the conditions and that sort of thing have played into it as well. But I think it's definitely something that I would look at more frequently. I'm surprised that Liverpool haven't tried that a little bit more often when you think of some of the players that they've got. I think, you know, Luis Diaz, for example, is well suited and played on the left of a 4-4-2 for Porto when he was there. Obviously, Harvey Elliott is good off the right hand side as well. There's a couple of players in there that you think it would really suit. We've only really seen them do it in the last 2 or 3 years when they've needed to get a goal or they've had to change something. They had, I think, possibly in this competition, maybe in the FA Cup against Norwich, where they were a goal down, I think, and did that for 10 minutes. It worked, and it was kind of an emergency fix. But it's definitely something that I think, you know, you can explore at certain times, particularly when you think of how many attacking options they've got. I mean, you could have, you know, Gakpo on one side, Salah on the other, and maybe Jota and Nunes as a front two, for example. There was, I think, a bit of speculation when Liverpool played Toulouse last week, I think it was, where they picked an 11 where it would have made sense to go with 4-4-2, but they didn't. They went with the three in midfield. But it's definitely something to look at, and they've definitely got the players for it. Probably tonight isn't the easiest one to make an assessment in terms of how well it worked or how good it was.
Yeah, I mean, just on that note there, you finished on, I mean, it's a hard one to assess, obviously, given the conditions. I know Bournemouth themselves aren't exactly the most difficult of opposition as well as they played tonight, but in those, you know, dramatic, stormy conditions. The defending was caught out quite a few times tonight. I mean, you know, Bournemouth compared to them did obviously go for it. I mean, they're not going to not go for it. But what do you make of Liverpool's defending tonight? It was a bit makeshift. I know we saw Joel Quansa again. How do you think he played? How do you think the back four coped, to be honest, given the conditions?
Yeah, again, the conditions play into it to a certain degree. I think Quansa was excellent. Didn't really put a foot wrong across the game. And, you know, it's, I think, his fourth start for Liverpool at a senior level. You know, really impressive performance from him. And I was slightly surprised to a certain extent to see that Tsimikas was there. I don't know whether Luke Chambers maybe has got a little bit of a knock because he wasn't even on the bench, was he? But across the rest of the back four, there was a couple of shaky moments. I think we've seen that from Kelleher as well at certain points. I think particularly in the Europa League last week, we saw, you know, a couple of moments from him where he gave the ball away in silly areas. There was one or two of those today, maybe not quite so clear-cut as it was last week. But I think there's definitely mitigating circumstances in terms of that. The goal that Bournemouth score isn't great. He's effectively unmarked in the six-yard box at the back post. But how much did the ball move? Maybe as the cross comes in, we don't know. How difficult was it for those players to defend as well as they did it? Ultimately, it doesn't matter. Liverpool have won the game. They've, you know, done more than enough. But I think particularly first half, Liverpool were in reasonable control. Maybe second half, a little bit less so. And they've needed a bit of quality to come off the bench and do that for them. But I'm not worried about it, certainly. I think Joe Gomez will have better games. I think Matip did all right and Quansah was excellent. So, yeah, it's one of those things, really. I think Tsimikas is going to have a break at some point. I imagine he might have played tonight and then at the weekend and maybe Chambers gets the game against Toulouse in France. But I think considering the amount of changes that there were, it's not a bad performance. It's not bad going, I don't think, for Liverpool to go and win 2-1 and, you know, get themselves through without, obviously, you know, they needed a big goal and a big moment from Nunes. But, you know, ultimately, I think they definitely deserve to go through and they were the better of the two teams across the 90.
Yeah, I'm rethinking my question to you there, Matt, as you're answering that, because, you know, I was a little bit harsh maybe saying they got caught out a few times. When you're defending into such a headwind like that, you're obviously going to get played in behind a lot of the time. And that's why, to be honest as well, I'm not going to really analyse Cody Gakpo's goal, because every corner Liverpool had and every corner Bournemouth had towards that side, it looked like every single one was going to go in, didn't it? I mean, Gakpo's was a mess. Bournemouth couldn't clear it. Gakpo stabbed it in. The one that Kluivert scored for Bournemouth, I mean, you know, it's just a freakish gust of wind that's taken the ball towards him, I think, to be honest, for Liverpool to concede there. But the goal we are going to analyse, Matt, is Darwin Nunez's. I mean, is this the most Darwin Nunez thing we'll ever see? Because the touch was dreadful, but the finish, oh my word, Matt. I mean, that's probably the best goal we've seen in quite a while from a Liverpool player.
Yeah, as you say, classic Darwin Nunez. I'd love it if he could just do the first touch or score the open goals as well as all the other stuff, but he is great to watch, isn't he? He's just one of those players that I think opposition fans are going to have to learn at some point not to jeer him when he does the bad touch, because you just don't know what's going to happen with the second. And again, maybe the wind helped him to a certain degree with the ball looping over the goalkeeper, but let's not take too much away from him. It was a fantastic finish from him. It was a little bit Fernando Torres-like for me. I know I've seen a couple of people on Twitter comparing it to a Suarez one, I think against Stoke, where he does something similar, but it was it felt very Fernando Torres to me, which is not a bad comparison to have, I don't think.
Yeah, he's following the footsteps of Torres and Suarez and Mendy. Yeah, unbelievable strike from Darwin. As you say, the opposition fans need to know that you don't want to rile him up, because that's when you see the best from him. Let's cast our eyes forward then, Max. It was a relatively strong lineup tonight. Not full strength, but stronger than I'd expected, to be honest, for the League Cup. Heading into Luton on Saturday, it's not exactly the hardest of games. What changes would you expect to see? Is there anyone tonight who impressed you, maybe keeping the lineup?
It's a hard one, really. I mean, beyond the obvious ones, I think there's maybe an argument to say that Curtis Jones comes back in. Obviously, he's back from the suspension. That's why he was able to play tonight. I think Ryan Gravenberch looked a little bit tired over the weekend. Obviously, has played no football and then probably more than he was expecting when he's come to Liverpool because of the Jones suspension. So maybe there's a conversation to be had there. I'd be surprised if Darwin Núñez didn't start up front. I think that seems, a pretty logical one. The fact that, Diogo Jota's come off the bench, I know he'd played two full 90s going into this game, so that kind of makes sense. I would guess from this point it would probably be a Salah, Núñez, Jota front three, I would imagine, and maybe Gakpo is the one to maybe be the impact player off the bench. I suspect that's probably the most likely scenario. I think two of the midfielders pick themselves, and then it's a case of Jones or Gravenberch making the third one. And then across the back four, Tsimikas presumably is going to have to go again. It'd be a surprise if it wasn't him. And obviously Van Dijk and Konate get the night off. And Trent didn't think he had the best performance off the bench in midfield, but I'm sure he'll be back at right back and back in familiar surroundings. So I think that's probably what you're looking at for the weekend. I think that's fairly predictable. But like I said at the start, I am glad that they played Salah and Szoboszlai and went for it today, because I think maybe one or two extra younger faces in that team and they don't get themselves through and you end up kicking yourself. I think it would have been a massive, massive missed opportunity. And it's not like they've had, loads of Champions League football this season to, have to use those players in. I saw a few people were surprised that Szoboszlai was given, another start. But again, he's had more than enough games off this season to still be fresh. And I mean, to be honest, he doesn't look like he ever gets tired anyway, so I wouldn't be massively concerned about him. But I think, the fact that it was an important game and the fact that, like you say, it's Luton on Sunday, even with a couple of changes, if Liverpool needed to do that, for that one, they should be able to go there and win and show themselves to be controlled and dominant and all of the things that we've seen from the start of this season. So I think that the lineup probably will pick itself for the weekend, but it's one of those where you've got so many subs and you can, bring somebody on after an hour, and because of the stoppage time and all the rest of it, they're still getting basically a half of football. I think I wouldn't be too worried whichever way they went, but I suspect that's probably the way that they'll go.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter, to be honest, doesn't it? They should be beating Luton no matter what. I agree with you. I'd love to see Jones play, to be honest, but I think he might go with Gravenberch just to have that bit more of a physical presence, because Luton's main threat, obviously, is playing directly and set pieces. I mean, there's maybe even a case for Joel Matip, but that'd be very surprising if he wasn't to play Konate after giving him a rest tonight. But anyway, we'll wrap up the debrief there. Thank you, everyone, for watching along with us here on the Blood Red YouTube channel. The League Cup quarterfinal draw will shortly be upon us. Keep across the Liverpool Echo and Liverpool.com sites for all the latest on that. It looks at the moment like it could be one of West Ham United, Chelsea, Everton. That'd be an interesting draw, wouldn't it? Fulham or maybe Newcastle United after they beat Man United. Well, they're currently beating Man United 3-0. Great result for Liverpool fans, that one, isn't it? Yeah, as I said, though, make sure you stick around with us here on the Blood Red channel. We'll bring Jurgen Klopp's press conference as soon as you have it. And of course, the post-game podcast will be going up on whichever platform you get your podcasts from. But for now, thank you for joining me, Patrick Smith, and Liverpool.com editor Matt Allison. We'll catch you again soon on The Debrief.
Really good result for Liverpool in the end, going away to a Premier League side in the Cup. Liverpool ended up getting a 2-1 win against Bournemouth. And when you consider Liverpool had made a mass amount of changes to the side and they're playing in conditions which are really difficult in terms of the weather, I feel that anyone who's played football, I suppose, would always say that the least favourite conditions to play in is wind. And that was some kind of wind, judging by the pictures on TV and judging by the length Quiven Kelleher's goal kicks could get in the second half. And how much trouble Bournemouth had in the first half and Liverpool had in the second half, just simply trying to progress the ball in any way. Such were the conditions. And I felt Liverpool played really well in the first half, played some really good football, obviously aided by the fact that Bournemouth were on the half of the pitch, facing into the wind. However, Liverpool could have gone into the half-time interval more than one goal up. I felt they created some really good opportunities inside and just outside the penalty area, which ultimately could have been converted. As it was, the opportunity wasn't taken, and a goalkeeping error from Guevin Kelleher from the corner, in which he lost the flight of the ball. I don't think his position was fantastic as well. I felt he was a bit too advanced of the back post as the ball curled over his head. Bournemouth ultimately get level. And then a fantastic goal from Darwin Nunes, really. And he just keeps getting better on a weekly basis. And I think I'm not going to go on too much about Nunes because I think it's done him a lot over the last few months, even the last year, really. But I do believe that how well he performs over the course of the season might have a real impact on how well Liverpool can do. I think he could be that important to them, really, when you think about playing on the highest line of the pitch and some of the providers he has for them, filling in them pockets of space in behind him and assisting him over, through, round, whatever you want to call it. Liverpool have got an array of players now who can find him as the moving target, as the highest player. So yeah, another fantastic goal from him today. And I think one of the things I wanted to touch on, really, I haven't really done this player since I've been doing the podcasts, well, since he's come into the team, really. But Jarrell Kwanzaa, I felt he was outstanding today and probably Liverpool's best player. And when you consider such difficult conditions, again, especially for a centre-half, having to deal with a lot of aerial balls and a lot of balls which you could easily miss time or lose the flight of, I felt he was really dominant in his play. And he's done really well for Liverpool since he came in. Obviously, to play for Liverpool, you've got to have an array of qualities, really, to play centre-half. And one of them is to have that physicality to be able to manage in isolation, managing them spaces, them big open spaces that Liverpool will often leave behind when their initial pressure is breached. And, you know, being forced into the wide areas and being comfortable with dealing with mobile attackers in them zones. And again, I felt he did really well today. Looked strong, commanding. Also think he looks very composed on the ball. Obviously, he's a right-footed player playing on that left-hand side. Very, I like Virgil van Dijk in that sort of space. But to be able to do that, you've got to be really proficient and an outstanding distributor of the ball with your stronger side, especially if, obviously, that initial pass that be played on the more favoured left foot isn't an option because, obviously, you're a right-footed player. And van Dijk, such a magnificent switcher of the ball, such a magnificent progression of the ball to find the wide areas of the pitch, not so much playing through the opposition, but to find the wide areas of the pitch with elevated balls, especially to Salah. That armoury for Liverpool basically renders the fact that he isn't left-footed pretty much irrelevant, such as his quality in other areas as a complete defender. And of course, you know, it's asking an awful lot of any player to reach the ceiling of probably still the best defender in the world, and for me, the best defender who's played football at his absolute peak. But Jarrell Kwanzaa obviously is showing good signs in his use of the ball. He's shown good signs in his ability to be able to manage physically against mobile attackers. And whilst it's very early, they're the qualities you sort of want to see from playing in them areas. Obviously, Liverpool had a problem in recent seasons when they had to play the likes of Reece Williams and Nathaniel Phillips in them positions. And ultimately, it just really hindered Liverpool because as much as they were able to get by, you'd always felt that any ball sort of around the sides of Liverpool, or if it was a physical matchup, they could be exposed and it was never going to be a long-term solution. Now, it remains to be seen whether this player is going to be a long-term solution, but, you know, the early signs are he could be a valuable squad member for Liverpool, especially with being a homegrown player and a player who looks like he has the player profile to be able to do well in the position. Obviously, we'll have to see it over a much longer period of time and over much better opposition. But yeah, you can be really pleased with how he's done so far this season. I think one of the things I wanted to mention about the game was just in general, I think when Liverpool went 2-1 ahead in the game through Nunes, I always like to pick out, you know, I'm not outcome biased and I never sort of just focus on the results. And again, there was just some things within the game that I feel that Liverpool can do a lot better. So just at times, Ravan Gravanbach, or Gravenberch, or however you want to call it, sorry, I struggle with his name, it, at times, it's just a real lack of discipline again. for me, giving away free kicks in really dangerous areas when you factor in how difficult the conditions were as well. But even if you take out the conditions, some of the decisions he makes to make fouls in this particular game around the edge of the area after Liverpool have just gone up. Liverpool, in any game, it's easy to concede from set plays, from them zones, and he's got to be a lot more patient, not dive in, put his brakes on, decelerate, and ultimately not have to engage if he doesn't believe he's assured to win the ball. And that'll come back to haunt Liverpool. It will, over the course of a season, if players keep making these kind of fouls in dangerous areas at key moments in the game. And just because Liverpool have won the game today, I think they're the kind of points that really need to be picked up on, because it can be the difference between an outcome. And obviously with Gravenberch as well, I think I remember in the Tottenham away game, and by the way, he's been a really positive impression for Liverpool so far, so this is not me sort of singling him out. I'm just talking about a bit of professionalism, a bit of experience that he needs to gain. I remember in the Tottenham fixture, the one Liverpool ultimately lost this season, the only defeat, when they went down to nine men, and he had the ball in the corner flag in the last minute. He made a really unprofessional decision for me to try and beat a man in the corner. Ultimately, he got sandbagged, he got tackled, and Tottenham were able to go up the other end, counter-attack, and ultimately win the game through an own goal from Joel Matip. But at that stage, it just struck with me what he really needed to do was just move into the corner, protect the ball, try and advance Liverpool into a throw-in or win one of them sorts of situations, even if it was a free kick. But ultimately, he tried the more ambitious thing and ended up losing the ball, and Liverpool then, you know, succumbed to defeat. So they're just little moments, but they do matter. And I think another one is Trent Alexander-Arnold coming on. And obviously at the time, Klopp removes Harvey Elliott and Curtis Jones, who are probably two of the most safest options in Liverpool's side on the football. So adept at retaining possession in tight spaces. And obviously Alexander-Arnold's a totally different player to that. Obviously he's a player who looks to hit the opposition with the ball at all times, looks to play forward and progress it as much as he possibly can, and is very much a risk-reward player. And at that stage, with the difficulty of the conditions, I was surprised that Klopp actually made the change, and I don't think it actually benefited Liverpool. And I felt at times, again, Alexander-Arnold was losing the ball in his deeper areas of the pitch, which again can cost Liverpool. I mean, again, there's no bigger fan of the player than me, Alexander-Arnold, there really isn't. But I just think a little bit of experience from now and then in these kind of situations, because again, because that ball was surrendered in the middle of the pitch, Liverpool were in situations where it could have been a different story had the opposition used the ball better. And it's just something within his game. I just think he needs to balance out a little bit more. And for the main, since he's gone into the new position, he's been a lot more forefully minded in possession, not as vertical and wanting to go forward all the time. And let's not forget, you don't want to take that out of his game, because he is absolutely unique in that sense, the way he can, you know, mentioned it before, play round, through, over you, whatever you want. He's an absolute unique talent in that sense, and one of the most creative players in the Premier League. But sometimes, in the temperature of the game, when to slow it down, when to speed it up, when to be ambitious, there just has to be a little bit more common sense for me, especially when Liverpool are in an advantageous position. So they were the only things I wanted to point out, because I think they're really, really important in the grand scheme of things. Liverpool have won today, but I felt in the second half they could have managed the game better, and ultimately we're victorious because of a piece of individual brilliance, really.
You've been listening to the Post Game Podcast on the Blood Red Channel.